You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Praise God. I'm excited about this morning. In fact, if you were here Wednesday night, you got a taste of it. I started something Wednesday. I'm just going to continue on teaching. And really what Wednesday's sermon title was, "You Can Be Too Smart to Get This." And you can. You can't be too dumb to get it, but you can be too smart to get it. And I think in most cases, we're way too smart to get what God has for us. We know too much. We know more than God does. We've got it figured out. Or, you know, we might have a way figured out. In fact, the prophecy that came at the end of that message Wednesday night, the tongue interpretation that came, really that's what was said, was that we often are in rebellion. That's what God said, because we're trying to solve our own problems. We won't come to God. We think we've got it figured out. We won't let Him do it for us. And we don't look at it that way. We think we're just being humble, you know, by not praying and not calling and not believing. But also, actually, we're just in rebellion by not coming to God. You know, when I got saved, you know what I did? I humbled myself, sure, by coming to God. But actually what I did, I repented. I turned from my sin. I turned from trying to make my own life work without God. I turned from trying to go my own way and do my own thing. Are you with me? And I actually repented of my rebellion. When you come to God, it's like laying down your arms because you've been opposed to Him. Maybe you hadn't said that with your mouth, but you haven't come to Him. You haven't accepted Him. You haven't allowed Him to rule your life or to run your life. And so you're actually repenting. You're coming out of rebellion. Yeah. See, you've been on the wrong side, and now you're choosing the right side when you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now it's time to do that. You don't choose sides when the battle's over. You choose sides while it's going on. And there is a battle going on right now if you don't know it. And one day, Jesus is coming. I'll tell you something. I know who's going to win. Jesus is going to win. Now, if you got any sense at all, you'll join Him right now. Are you with me? And let's get on His team now, because it's too late after the battle's over. Hello. So change sides, because you're on the wrong side if you're not on Jesus' side. Amen. Come to Him. Quit trying to figure it all out yourself. Do it all your own way and make it without Him. You can't. You need Him. And that's what I did when I came to Jesus some 32 years ago. I mean, I was just lost as a goose in a snowstorm, as they say. You know, my background was basically was heathen. I was one of those pagan heathens, you know, as we say in East Texas. I was lost. I wasn't anything. Were you kidding? I was nothing. Some people say I have this background and that background. Well, I mean, my young days, I was Church of Christ. I mean, I'm talking when I was a little kid. But then I just went wild. I was on drugs and, you know, and just lost. Just lost. Did not know Jesus and did not know where I was going. Didn't know one day from the next. Thought I had it all figured out and didn't have anything figured out. You know, I'd get all high on one drug and it messed me up. So I'd do another drug that had the opposite effect to bring me down off the drug that got me high. You know, I'd stay up all, you know, for nights on speed, and then I'd turn around and take downers to get me down. And, you know, I don't ever talk much about that. Because I'm ashamed of that. I'm not proud of that. I'm not, you know, I don't say those things arrogantly or isn't that funny. It wasn't funny at all. It's not funny waking up not knowing where you are. It's not funny, you know, spending all your money, wasting your life away and no direction, no purpose. That's not funny. It's not cute. You know, it's not macho. We make that sound like that's just cool. That's not cool. I thought I was cool. I was a fool. Yeah. I didn't get cool till I accepted Jesus. Till I was born again. That's when I got my life straight and began to realize I had a destiny and a purpose. And God began to put me together and fix me up. Hallelujah. And what happened was I quit being so smart and I just started believing God. Amen. See, I was too smart before I met Jesus. And then I realized there was somebody smarter than me, that God had more sense than I did. And that He wanted to just love me. He just wanted to make me the best I could be and give me a destiny and a future and give me a purpose and a hope. And He wants to give that to everybody, see? But you got to come to Him to get that. You got to lay down at His feet. You got to come to Jesus and accept Him and allow Him to move in your life. And that's true humility. Are you with me? You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And if you'll do that, He'll exalt you in due time. He's all about exalting you, no doubt about it. But He's all about doing it Himself, not you doing it yourself. Amen. Not you doing it. And so 1 Corinthians talks about this dilemma out here. This makes an observation here. Paul does. And he says in the 17th verse, for Christ, first chapter of 1 Corinthians 17 verse, for Christ did not send me to baptize but to preach the gospel. Now obviously Paul baptized, and we all baptize, and we believe in baptism. But ultimately, of course, we're preaching the gospel. Hello. Amen. In the gospel, of course, water baptism is part of the process. If you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you need to follow through with water baptism, no question. But Paul was making a point here that he had baptized a few people there at Corinth. He was glad he hadn't baptized everybody, lest there would be people saying they were of Paul instead of Jesus, because they were having division in the church at Corinth. Some people were saying, I am of Apollos. Some people said, I'm of Paul. Some people said, I'm of Christ. But they were saying it in a way that's divisive. And Paul says, I thank my God I didn't baptize any more than I did. I baptized this person and that person. If I baptize anybody else, I don't know. But Christ sent me not to baptize, to preach the gospel. Are you with me? And that's a unifying thing. And the gospel puts us all together. I love it. Puts us all on the same plane. I don't care if you got a lot of money or no money. God puts us all on the same plane. I don't care if you got a high education or no education. God puts us all on the same plane. A church should not be a place that has nothing but lawyers or nothing but politicians or nothing but ditch dickers or garbage collectors or people on welfare. No, a church should be a place that has all those people. Are you with me? Has everybody from all walks of life, black, white, Hispanic, stay with me, all different races, everybody should be coming to church. Church is a place where everybody should come. We shouldn't have cliques. Amen. Hello. There shouldn't be divisions, and we should see each other the same because we're all of great value to God, and we're all important to God, and we all count with God. And God can use anybody. He can use anybody. Don't think that God can't use you because you're not in one of those categories. And don't think you're just, not smart enough to be used by God. You're probably in a better position to be used by God if you're not real smart. Because really, the point I'm making here is you can be too smart to get this. And that's what Paul ultimately gets into. He says in the 18th verse, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Foolishness. It's just foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. People say all they want to say, I believe in the cross. I believe in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. I believe He hung on the cross for my sins. I believe He died and went to hell. I believe He rose again. I believe the tomb is empty. I believe Jesus is at the right hand of God, and I believe He's come back to get me. Amen. Now, you can laugh at that if you want to. That may sound foolish to you, but it is the power of God to me. It is my salvation and my redemption. Hallelujah. Because I am just dumb enough to believe it.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not too smart to reject it.
Amen.
I don't know more than God. Hello. And that's not a bad thing. It's a great day when you wake up and find out you're not as smart as God.
Amen.
It's the greatest revelation you'll ever get from God. When you realize you don't know as much as He knows. Amen. So, when you go into the Word, don't put a question mark where He puts a period. Just accept it. Your whole life is based on accepting authority and taking the word of another person. And we've done that all of our life. Everything you know about history is that way anyway.
Amen.
You know who the father of our nation was? Who's called the father of our nation, the United States of America? Anybody know? Anybody ever met him? George Washington. Did y'all not know who that is? Should I not give the... Okay. Shall we pick another subject? Okay. George Washington was called the father of our nation. Okay, he was the first president of our country. In case y'all didn't know that, I thought I'd tell you that too. And I take that on good authority. Anybody doubt that? Anybody doubt that George Washington was the first president of the United States of America? I'm pretty sure about it. Are you pretty sure about it? I mean, everybody pretty sure about that? Are you pretty safe? Would you? You wouldn't have a problem repeating that to somebody. You'd feel pretty confident in saying that, wouldn't you? Well, sure you would. Yeah. And Fred and Brenda. That's good. The rest of you don't know for sure. Not sure, are you? Okay, you're the ones I'm talking to because you didn't graduate from high school, did you? The rest of y'all did? Okay, no, stay with me. But we know that for a fact. We know that's true. If we were tested on that, we'd write that down. If somebody asked us, we'd tell them. But you don't know George Washington. You never met him. You take that on good authority. That is written in our history books. And what we know about history, and we take on good authority, these things happen. Certain things happen. And he happened to be the first president of the United States of America. Well, see, most of what you know on good authority. Sydney, you ever seen pictures of Sydney, Australia, where they had the opera house with those white funnels, and all that? Vern and I have been there.
Not inside,
but we went all around it. We were in a ferry, and went all around, went right to the front steps. Okay. Hadn't been inside the building, but I touched it. It was there. We were okay. Goodness gracious. Boy, talking about stranded a gnat swallowing a camel. Okay. Anyway, we were there. We were there. Now, y'all seen that. You know that's there, don't you, in Sydney? Haven't y'all been there? Stan, I know Stan's been there. Okay. Eddie's back here has been there. I've been there. Jonathan's been there. And Brenda's been there. But the rest of y'all just have to take our word on that, won't you? Yeah. But actually, you took somebody else's word on that before we came along. Because you've seen some pictures. You don't know if those pictures are doctored up or not. You don't know. Come on, this day and age, anything can be doctored. No, the point I'm making here is you trust people all day long, every day in your life. And you believe and take as fact things that people have said that you don't even know. And here we have God's Word. Why is it we're so smart that we don't believe God's Word? That we can't take God's word for something. But we'll take anybody else's word on any other subject that we see on the news or we read in a paper or read in a book or hear historically. Now, I'll tell you what, we're too smart, see? We're too smart. We know better, don't we? We just know better. And yet, we don't question all that other stuff. Something to think about now. So Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. See, most people don't want to commit. They don't want to come to Jesus, so they'll do everything they can to discredit it. They don't want to believe it because they know it has consequences. You know, it's not a matter of evidence per se. It's just a matter of the will. Sometimes we just don't want to believe, and no amount of evidence is going to convince us. That's the way the evolutionists really are. You can bring all the evidence in the world. You can have all the debates in the world, all the arguments in the world. It won't dissuade or change an evolutionist because they have a philosophical ideal. They don't want to admit God. And so to admit any of the other evidence would be to admit there might be a God, and we're just not going to do that. See, most people have a problem with their will, not a problem with their mind per se. They don't want to. Once you want to, you don't have trouble believing anything. Once you desire to please God and you want to believe God, then it doesn't matter what He says, you're going to believe it. Amen?
That's right.
So the problem really comes down to our will. It's kind of like that man that, you've heard the story, that thought he was dead. And his whole family says, no, you're not dead. They were talking to him, and he's talking back to him. And his name's George, we'll say. No reflection, George, on you back there. But they said, George, you're alive. You're not dead. And George says, no, I'm dead, and I know I'm dead. And they said, well, can we convince you that you're alive? If we could convince you you're alive, would you believe you're alive? He said, well, sure, if you could convince me, but I know I'm not alive. I'm dead. So they took him to the psychiatrist, and they put him in the room with the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist says, George, you're alive. He said, no, I'm dead. And he says, look, I can convince you. I know I can that you're alive. Now, let's think about this a moment. George, do dead men bleed? And George says, of course dead men don't bleed. So the psychiatrist reaches over his desk and just cuts his arm real quick, and blood just starts coming out of his arm. And George grabs his arm and he says, my God, dead men do bleed. This is the way we are, see? No amount of evidence is going to change us because we got our mind made up and we got our will. We're not going to change it. We're too smart, see? Hello, we're too smart. And God's just one thing after another, you know, bringing all these things to pass and showing us all this, and we're just not listening. See, it's a matter of the will. You've got to come in here and you've got to willfully turn your life over to Jesus and accept Him and realize that He's smarter than you are. God says, come, let us reason together. He didn't say, y'all go reason amongst yourselves. Because that's where you get in trouble. I remember when I got saved, when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I'd been working on a construction job, actually as an industrial spray painter's helper. If you can imagine what that is. One of the worst jobs. I should have been on one of those, you know, dirtiest jobs in the world show, whatever that is. And I was inside this chemical tank car, like on a train, you know, in May, and it was a hot May. It wasn't like it is now. And I was down in Houston, actually Deer Park, Texas. I was out in a chemical plant. Up John Chemical is the name of it. And they'd lower you down in this manhole on the top of the... You've seen these tank cars? They're rounded on the ends. Those are chemical tank cars. You see them on these trains. Well, they had this hatch on the top, almost like a submarine. You had to take the bolts off, take the hatch off. And they lowered you down in there with a hood. I had a hood on with air coming through like this. The whole time you could hear that air going. And then I'd go in there and sandblast the inside of it for 15 minutes. And then they'd pull you back out and they'd put somebody else in there. And then you'd lay out there on the ground. catch your breath and get it back together, and they put you back in there again. Boy, thank God. Great job. Great job. Yeah. That's up there with baling hay, as far as I'm concerned. That's just one of those great jobs, you know. A year of bale, square bales and throw them all day long and you, in the heat of the summer. But anyway, so I was doing that, and I had this guy who was witnessing to me on the job. My foreman, actually, he'd witnessed to me for quite some time, for several months. But and I had cussed him and God and everything else. I mean, I was just lost as a goose, just absolutely going to hell. Do not pass go, do not collect $200, you know. And after 6 months of this, it was really getting to me, you know, because that's the way the power of God is. It'll get to you. If somebody doesn't give up on you and they keep praying for you and they keep ministering to you, the Word of God's not bound. And all my defenses were just breaking down and breaking down and breaking down and breaking down. And it finally got down to, I just realized I was just in rebellion. I really did. I finally got to the point I realized it was just me. I found the enemy and he is me. You know, I'm the problem. That I need to accept Jesus, that he loves me. I couldn't fight that. I couldn't fight the love. This guy that was witnessing to me just kept loving on me. I mean, the first time he witnessed to me, I cussed him out and God too and made a joke about it. He got embarrassed, turned red, and walked off. Instead of cutting me off and stopping ministering to me and stopped praying for me and firing me as my foreman, he comes back the next day all smiles again, telling about what great church service he has, you know, and had. And oh, man, just I thought this guy's a nutcase. I mean, he just, you know. And then I began to realize as the time went on that he was pretty squared away, and I was in a new world every day. I didn't know what was going on, you know. And I guess what really got it for me, I think I've told this before, is when he came up to me one day, and this is when I was doing all the sand blasting, you know, I was like I was already in hell, you know, ready to get out. And he says, "We put your name in a prayer jar at church, and we're praying for you to get saved." Now, it's been going on for months. This guy's been witnessing to me, and and he's just so nice. He was just such a nice guy. Let me tell you something. He was not the most intelligent guy. He wasn't just a scholar by any stretch of the imagination, but he knew Jesus. And he loved Jesus. He couldn't answer all my questions.
Come on, brother.
That wasn't what won me, see. What won me was that anointing on him, and that he knew God. He knew Jesus. And nothing I could do could sway that and change that. And he was determined that I was going to get saved. And so when he said that about that, I got real scared when he said he put that my name. And I told him, I said, "You go take my name out of that prayer jar." He said, "I'm not going to do it." He said, "We're praying you get saved." And he said, "What are they doing that for me for? I don't know those people." See, it really bothered me, you know, because I thought, I was having a tough time with this guy. Now I got a whole church on my case, you know. That's not going to work. I'm already tapped, and I thought I pretty well got a grip on this one guy, you know, one coyote, and now there's a whole herd, you know, a whole bunch of coyotes coming at me. I can't handle all of them. You know, what am I going to do? And so I was just, my defenses were just being tore down, you know. And I never will forget, I went home that one day, that last day I was sandblasting in that tank car, and I just had it, man. It was the worst day of my life. I was already so miserable the last 3-4 days because I was lost and I knew it. And I couldn't get any joy or peace I was still doing drugs and all that. And I remember I stopped the drugs for 3 days and I quit cussing for a couple of days. That was tough. That was hard. And then I thought, well, I'll quit cussing, I'll quit drugs, and that'll be it, you know. But see, it's not what you quit, it's what you get.
Amen.
See, I had this all figured out. I thought I could be good enough. See, in my mind, I've got this all figured out. And all I needed was Jesus. I needed to come to Jesus. It's what I needed to do. Amen. It was foolishness to me at the time, but I was perishing, see. And the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, to us who believe it's the power of God. And that final day that I came in, I remember coming in late one afternoon. Chris is at daycare. Brenda was downtown Houston working there. And I had to go pick Chris up, and he's about a year and a half old. And I laid down in my apartment, and I laid down on my back. And it's the first time I ever remember really praying in my whole life. I mean, I even started reading the Bible a week or two before. I got right into Revelation, thought I'd get all that figured out, you know, first. And I didn't. But... That just scared me, confused me. I didn't know what that was about. I mean, really, I was lost as a goose trying to read Revelation. You know, Brenda had a Bible. And so anyway, I was laying down there, and it's the first time that I ever remember praying. And I fulfilled the scripture, really, if you want to know the truth. I didn't have it all down. I didn't say all the right words, technically. But I did say this. I said, Jesus, I said, Jesus, if you can do anything with me, I said, help me. And I meant it. I meant it from the very depth of my heart. I meant it when I said it. And, you know, no big theological thing. I didn't have all the right words down. But the Bible says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah. And I meant that with all my heart. And I got up. I didn't have a real traumatic experience. I didn't, I weep now thinking about it. I wasn't weeping then. I was just hurting. But I remember getting up and walking into my bedroom. And I had some drugs left, and I took them, and I just flushed them down the commode. I got rid of them. Before, I just put them on the shelf in case this thing didn't work. I was going to go back to them, you know. But when I got through praying, I just knew, something in me knew that I was on my way to heaven, that I was going down the right path.
Hallelujah.
And I couldn't figure all that out in my head. I just knew that. See, some things you know in your heart, and some things you try to figure out with your head. You get in trouble. Your head will get you in trouble a lot of times. Some things you just know. That's why at the end of services like this, we give invitations and we say, God's really tugged at your heart. We're not talking about your head. We're talking about something in your heart. You know God is dealing with you and pulling and tugging at you. Don't run from that. That's the hound of heaven. And he is on your trail. Think about it. He's on your trail. And this hound will not let go. He will not let go. And he had been on me for 6 months. And I finally just accepted and received it. It wasn't a great intelligent decision. Looking back, it was the most logical thing to do, sure. But at that point in time, it was from the depths of my soul. I was crying out and accepting the hand of God on my life. He was pulling at me. He was tugging at me. And see, I'm a story like this. I talked about this story here Wednesday night, where Paul talks about how God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and base things to confound things that are not, to confound things that are. Are, and how there's not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise according to the flesh. And even in Jesus' disciples, the two greatest ones, you take Peter and John. Well, Peter, James, and John. They were just fishermen, and they changed the world. They weren't academics. They weren't people with great, great educations. They were just foolish things of this world. And when the Pharisees and the scribes talked to them and the Holy Ghost would come on them, they would perceive that they were ignorant and unlearned men. And they take note that they'd been with Jesus. And they couldn't deny the miracles that took place. There was a power there. There was anointing there. There was a presence there. It was God. See, and that's what we need to seek after and search after. That's what you need to stir yourself up about. It's not about you and what you can do. It's about what God can do through you. And if God can use a donkey, He can use you. Are you with me? And if God can use me, He can use you. I mean, you see me up here. We've been pastoring now for 25 years. But you don't realize what I came out of. I came out of nothing. When God saved me, I had no high school education. I was just basically working on a construction job and playing around with drugs. And I had to get saved, you know, I had to get delivered from that. And then when God called me to teach, I still didn't have a high school education. I still haven't gone to Bible college. Are you with me? I still hadn't done all that. Thank God for Bible college. Thank God for those avenues of learning. In my case, I was ministering and doing missionary work and preaching so much, I didn't have time to stop and go to school. Are you with me? I didn't know that I had to. Thank God for it if it's necessary and you need it. If you're not in a good church, I was in a good one. Lakewood Church is a Bible school. You don't know the truth. But the bottom line is, God just picked me out. Didn't make any sense. You wouldn't have picked me out. I wouldn't have picked me out. I argued with God when He did it too. Hello. If God had shown you me 30-something years ago and said, there's your pastor, you probably would not be saved today. Really, I got an image of me. I remember my dad put me in jail one night. He was deputy sheriff. He put me in jail one night and purposely put me in a jail cell with a wino. I mean, one trying, that was in having DTs and nightmares all night long. All night long hollering, give me a drink, all night long. And I was on the second floor of this jail cell. I never will forget this. And I saw the next day some of my friends walking down the street, you know, and I, I couldn't even get my head through the bars. I had an afro at that time. And I was, hey! I was hollering at him down there, get me out of here, you know. And finally my dad let me out, you know. And of course, I was just in rebellion. I've thought about that often, if God had shown you that picture. There's your pastor. No, really, I mean, it's amazing to me. It is amazing to me. It breaks me even. We laugh and I cry too. I think about it. Would I have done, when I picked me, I wouldn't have picked me.
Glory to God.
I wouldn't have picked me. You wouldn't have picked me. But see, God didn't pay attention to us. God chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God had plans that I never even dreamed of. Are you kidding? I had no aspirations to do this. Even after I got saved, I had no idea I was going to pastor. I didn't even want a pastor. Are you kidding? I didn't want to be a preacher. I was just glad to be saved. I was happy about it. I was telling everybody about Jesus. I couldn't wait to tell people about Jesus. I was witnessing to everybody on my job. When God called me to teach His Word, I argued with them. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I absolutely told them no. And then I had to say yes because the hound of heaven was on my trail. And when the hound of heaven gets on your trail, you might as well give up. You can't even climb a tree. This hound can climb trees. He won't let you go. I remember when God told us to come to Wills Point, Texas. I said, no. No, really, you think you're a pastor. I think, you know, he just loves God. He just always does the right thing. I have argued with God on every major move in my life. I have, because I was smarter than God. And I always had to finally repent and realize He's smarter than I am. I have other plans, and God, I remember I'd bought some land in Center Texas, my hometown. Bought a house, Brent and I had. And a house and 3 acres of land. Beautiful trees there. And we were going to build a place there. I was living in Houston, going back and forth, you know, and working on it. I bought another 2 acres behind it. And it had some big oak trees. You couldn't put your arms around them, you know. And I was thinking, oh, man, this is it. I'm a young buck, you know. I'm looking good. And my life's ahead of me. And, you know, and I love God. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to go to church. That's not the problem. I'm going to serve God. But I'm not going to go all over the world and preach the gospel. I don't want to do that. And I was back there building a fence one day, setting cross ties. You know what a cross tie is, big sleepers on the train? And I was setting those on a corner for this 2 acres I had just bought surrounding this 3 acres. And I was by myself. I had borrowed my dad's pickup because we were in from Houston. And I had laid those cross ties on that pickup. And, you know, I'd backed up there and dug that hole. And I pulled that thing off, you know, and threw it in that hole. And I had my hole. You know, and I was tamping it. You know how you tamp a post, you know, just to make it sturdy. And I was putting dirt in, tamping it, you know. And I was looking out across there. And the sun was going down. And, you know, and the breeze gets to, you know how it starts getting a little cool when the sun goes down. You know, God used to visit Adam in the cool of the evening. He'd walk with him in a garden. I always think about that story when I think of this story. And I was tamping that post. And I had this thing all planned out. I was standing right here looking off over this way. My house is up on the hill. All these oak trees and I was going to put this fence down this way, and I had big plans, big dreams, you know. I was just tamping it. I'm trying to tell the story. Tamping that post, and I heard the Spirit of God. And He said, no, son, I got other plans for you. I know I heard God. I know I heard God. And I walked away and never went back. Because that was not what God wanted me to do. And so, you know, I know God. He's smarter than I am. And so I just threw it all away, you know. And, I mean, I sold it. We sold the place eventually. Actually, we took the money from that and put down in our house that we're in. But I had no idea I was going to Wills Point, Texas. I just knew, when I was setting that post that I couldn't pursue that dream. I couldn't pursue that direction because God had some other plans for me. See, you can be too smart to get all this. None of that made sense to me. When God told me to come to Wills Point, Texas, there were 5 churches that I could have gone and pastored. I had people calling me, wanting me to come try out. And I said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have it here. It's not there. Are you with me? See, it's just a matter of obeying God and being led by the Spirit of God. You have got to throw your wisdom out the door and follow God's wisdom. None of this makes any sense in the natural. You can't explain how the blood washes your sin away. You can't explain how healing enters the body and drives cancer out. You can't explain how cripples walk and blind eyes see. But I'm going to tell you what. When the blind eyes see and the cripples walk, you cannot deny it. It's there and you cannot deny it. I can't explain everything half my life. It would be sound foolish to write it all on paper, but here I am and here I stand. Hallelujah. And I've been changed by the power of God, and I'm in a great church. My children are serving the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And I've gone all over the world and still going around the world, and we're doing wonderful things. And you know what? I can't point to anything but the power of God, and I can't give glory to anybody but Him, and I can't take any credit. Because all I've done is just obey God. That's all I've done. Now, I'm still reviewing Wednesday night. 1 Corinthians. Let me read a little bit and we'll close this out. This helping you? I want to encourage you with this. I'm not here talking about me. I don't want to sound that I'm bragging on me, because there's nothing about me to brag about. The point I'm making is there's nothing about me to brag about, okay? Everything about me is God did it, if it's a good. And all the bad parts, well, we don't want to talk about those. So it says here, 19th verse, first chapter, 1 Corinthians, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world or age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save them who believe. The guy that witnessed to me just kept witnessing to me. The guy that told me about Jesus just kept telling me about Jesus. And by the foolishness of preaching, I was saved. I ministered to Don Murphy for 3 years. I argued with Don Murphy for 3 years. We talked back and forth for 3 years. He's lost and I was saved, and I was relentless. I mean, I felt like the hound of heaven. I told him about Jesus, rode with him to work, told him about Jesus, rode home, told him about Jesus. He had a car wreck one time, I went to the hospital and told him about Jesus. I mean, I kept telling him about Jesus, you know, and he was a hard nut to crack. One day, the phone rings, and he's ready to get saved. It was just the preaching. It was the foolishness of the message that got him saved. You may not think you're doing any good, but if you're telling something about Jesus, let me tell you something. There is power behind the gospel. Just keep it coming. You say, well, I'm not answering all their questions. You never will answer all their questions. Just tell them about Jesus. Do the best you can, but just keep telling them about Jesus. There's power in the gospel. 22nd verse, for the Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ. Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Woo, hallelujah. I am so glad I met Jesus. I am a testimony to what Jesus has done in my life. And so are you. Every one of us is a testimony. Never belittle that. Never downgrade that or think that's not important. That's more important than all the arguments in the world. It's more important than all the philosophies of the world. It's more important than all the answers that the world could come up with, or the questions they could come up with. Oh, no. You being saved and you knowing Jesus is the power of God. Simply put, keep it simple. Amen? 25th verse, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing or not the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. So you and I are testimonies of the power of God. And the less you have to show in the natural for it, the better off God looks. I think about all that we do from Wills Point, Texas. You know what a testimony our church is? How we're reaching the world from Wills Point, Texas. Everybody talks about our community, small community. I go around the world telling about what God has done from Wills Point, Texas. They think we're in some huge mega church with thousands of people. Then I begin to tell them there's only a little over 3,000 people in our town. They say, what? I say, oh, yeah. And we have a Hallelujah night that has 4,000 people show up. They go, what? You know, I'm preaching to some big cities, and they can't believe we're doing what we're doing. I talk about the missions that we give, the television that we do. Hello. talk about us being out of debt and the acreage that we have, the buildings we're building. It's a testimony to the power of God, to the principles of God, to just doing what God says when it doesn't make any sense, giving our way out of debt, increasing our missions because we have a building program, not borrowing money, paying cash. See, that doesn't make sense in the natural, but that's what the Bible says. And what the Bible says always works. Let me share a couple things. I won't turn to because I won't have time. I was thinking about this message and about how we can be too smart to get this. And I thought about Nicodemus. You remember Nicodemus in John, the third chapter? He was a ruler of the Jews. Smart guy. Everybody say ruler. So he would be an academic, I guess you'd say, a guy that really was educated, you know, and been in the seminary or cemetery or whatever. And no, God bless. Good, higher education. Thank God for good education. But anyway, he came to Jesus by night, the Bible says, and he said, Jesus, we know that no man can do these miracles except you do, unless God be with him. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said, Jesus, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb? Let me tell you something. Nicodemus was too smart to get it. He was too smart to get it. Because, see, you can't be born again. Right? No, you can't be born again. That's impossible. Oh, yeah. But, see, God said you could. But Nicodemus, he's a smart man, see. He's a smart man. He didn't get it. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, again, he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he will not enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh is flesh, that which is spirit, except he be born of the water and of the Spirit. Natural birth and heavenly birth, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on, he says, you know, are you a master of Israel? And do you not know these things? He said, if I speak to you of earthly things you don't understand, how shall you understand if I speak to you of heavenly things? And then he goes on down that classic verse, in the 16th verse, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's how you do it. That's God's way. Doesn't make sense in the natural. You can be too smart to get it, but you can't be too dumb to get it. If you just believe, you can. And to Nicodemus' credit, he must have eventually believed because he was with Joseph of Arimathea. He was with him at his tomb when they carried Jesus to his tomb. The Bible says Nicodemus came with him. So evidently, Nicodemus came around. He brought spices to embalm Jesus with the night that they took him and put him in that tomb. Another case is the 4th chapter of John where the woman was at the well. Remember that? Jesus went to Samaria and he sat down and the disciples went to get something to eat. And Jesus was there and there's a woman there and he says, woman, give me something to drink. And she gave him something to drink or reached to get him a bucket. And he said, woman, he said, I have water that if you drank of, you'd never thirst again. And she said, Jesus, you don't even have a bucket. She's just about too smart to get it, see. Lest we think it's just the people with a higher education had the problem. This woman didn't have a high education. This woman had 5 husbands who were living with a guy, and she's out there getting water in the middle of the day because she didn't want to be seen by everybody. She wasn't highly educated. We can be just the dumbest of the dumb and still be too smart. So don't start sticking your nose up at people who got education if you don't have it. You could be just as smart. And she couldn't figure it out. She said, you don't have a bucket. And Jesus said, if you would ask, that's what he told her. He said, if you'd ask, I'd give you this water. That's the bucket. The bucket is asking, see. And you'd never thirst again. Amen. Well, obviously, she finally did get right. She laid down her insanity, thinking it was wisdom. And she did accept him. And she actually was a witness for Jesus and led a whole town to the Lord. And they all came out to hear what Jesus said. And he did miracles there. And the Bible says that those people said to Jesus and to everybody there, they said, now we believe because we have seen, not just because she said, because we've seen it. But she evangelized that town because she finally got smart enough to realize God's smarter than she was. So what God's telling us is don't be too smart because you'll miss this thing. I don't know whether it's a miracle in your life. I don't know whether it's being saved in your life. I don't know what it may be. Maybe marriage. You know, we can have 4 or 5 things that God can do to fix this thing, and 4 or 5 things don't work, and we give up, and God's got a million ways of fixing it. And because we're so smart, we can't believe. It could be a doctor's report where the doctor said this and this is happening, there's nothing we can do about it, and we give up because the doctor said that's all there is. But you see, don't be too smart. Don't be too smart. No. God can do anything. And the things that are impossible with man, they are possible with God. And your life's not over, and you have a future, and you have a hope, and you have a destiny. Don't let anybody keep you from realizing your dream, because God can use you. He chooses foolish things to confound the wise. And that's me. I fall in that category. Are you with me? I'm living testimony how God can use foolish, most likely to not succeed. Nobody would have ever picked me if they'd seen me. If you could go back in time, you would have written me off like everybody else, because I'd written myself off too lots of times. But God didn't. And He hadn't written you off either. Amen?